Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and this is The Natural Alternative. Welcome. Today, I am delighted to have Mateo Taylor, all the way from Ecuador. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you, Madonna. It's good to be here and I can't wait to get going. This is going to be good.
Look, you know, we could talk all day, and you, of course, for me, came to fame chatting to Stu Peters, who I'd been watching for quite some time. And there is, like, isn't every day we're just layering knowledge and information over the last little while? I think you had a head start on a lot of people being an electrical engineer and sort of realizing way early that we're really messing up this planet and our bodies, you know, sort of with everything we're jumping forward into. So where would you like to start?
What's the most important thing? I'd like to know a little bit about your viewer slash listenership, if that's a word,
Absolutely.
And what they're interested in. And have you had any comments that maybe I can address from the electrical side?
Yeah.
Because
So
I'm
a
good
lot
with
of
that.
people are really struggling with the nanotechnology. So I've sort of got the trifecta now. I had David yesterday. I had Shimon a couple of weeks ago. So it's sort of been really interesting watching people's comments associated with that. And people can't get from, okay, we understand the vaccines and the jabs are damaging people, to what the hell are they doing with, you know, electricity and nanoparticulates, and how is that possible? Like, people can't make that, which of course we understand because it's not an easy leap. But the fact that so far there's been over 3,100 vials looked at by groups of scientists around the world and they're not finding things like mRNA is very interesting. But what they are finding is the fun stuff that you and David have been capturing.
Yeah, we can go into the history of how that all happened. There was the only stressful part of this whole thing is when I discovered something. I was just looking for ribbons, the little Morgellons-like things.
Yes.
And then these chip-like things started to grow, and I kept checking myself and saying, "What the heck am I looking at? Is this salt?" So I'm looking up salt crystals, and then they keep growing right in front of my eyes. So I start pressing record, but I was not looking for that.
Right.
Not
So it was
so
purely accidental.
Total. Total. And it's accidental that I'm in this. I just happen to be a nerd with a microscope. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm smart enough and I'm interested enough in other disciplines that it wasn't deterring. But otherwise, I've just invented myself from scratch in terms of biology, medicine, Rockefeller medicine. I'm starting to learn more homeopathy. So the, not homeopathy, but more natural medications. But that's all my neighbors use. That's all they use. They don't, they call it, they call anything that's injected venom.
Yeah.
Veneno is the name in Spanish. You're really sick if you have to take a tablet of any kind, and everything else they literally get out of somebody's yard and mix it with pure grain alcohol or olive oil and drink.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
They know all of
because
them.
You're so living, you're living like off grid, you know, a really simple, healthy life, aren't you?
Very. And I spent all my money doing it. So I don't have any money anymore, but I don't spend any. I don't have any. I own everything.
Yeah.
So it's very, I don't travel. I don't have a car. I don't, there's a list of things I don't have. And we can get into whatever you want to, but the things that I have regained from mental clarity, patience, being able just to space out when I want to, free time. I don't have bills anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be as profound as it actually is. And I'm a much better prepper than I am a microscopist.
Yeah. And with, because you were part of the whole Erin Brockovich PG&E thing, which I find fantastic.
It was, yeah, it was way later than that. She did, what was it? Hexafluoride, I think is what she did. It was the transformer fluid that was infecting a lot of people.
Yeah.
Then I caught on. I did work for the work of somebody who didn't want to tell somebody about this expert they had on the smart meter case.
Right.
So is this
Oh,
same?
A smart meter owned by PG&E or something? Is there a connection there?
They help develop them, but they're just the largest utility on the West Coast, and they're owned by one of the big cabal families.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense that a lot of things come from there. But they have a long history of doing the wrong thing despite damage to people and things like that. So that was a blast. That was riding on a white horse and stuff. So that's where I got started.
Awesome.
But the investigation of the shots, the only thing that keeps me going, or the biggest thing that keeps me going, is we're literally helping humanity. And there's not a higher calling than that. I hope we're not wrong. I'll apologize if I'm wrong on this stuff, but it's a good feeling.
It's almost impossible to be wrong at, well, maybe that's a big statement, but it feels impossible to be wrong at this point. You know, there's so much nanotechnology, and I might be using the wrong words. So Shimon always picks up everyone on the wrong word usage within those categories. But the technology that we're finding in the jabs is just phenomenal. You know, it's you've seen David, he's organizing a clothing line.
Yes.
You know, with like the chips and the little wires, and saying, "Hey, Bill, I'm ready to be hooked up," or something like that.
I told him that he needs to put a chip in his face on the backside of underwear, and he didn't want to do that. I was disappointed.
He'll probably get braver as he goes ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Knowing those two characters you just mentioned, David and Shimon, we talk daily on this stuff. We call each other brother, and we debate all the time. It's a good scientific process that nobody will ever see, but yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Australia, Israel, Ecuador, you know, it's sort of like, how cool is that?
Yeah. And what a bizarre
place to be on the planet that anyone's even discussing this stuff. Would you have guessed you were here 5 years ago?
Five years ago? No, that's when I was planning on moving down here. I came down in 2018.
Yeah.
In October. And then, do you remember back in November of 18, a little town in Northern California burned to the ground?
Oh, I remember seeing stuff on TV, yeah. But I was at the end of my South American trip at that time. I was probably in the Caribbean or something.
Such a 7 weeks of that. God,
I
would
fantastic.
Have kept your luggage on that.
It was Galapagos and Easter Island and, Amazon, and it was very cool. Yeah, Caribbean cruise. It was a hard life.
That little town is called Paradise, California, and I had moved from Paradise, California 3 weeks prior.
Oh, my goodness. You've been looked after.
And the people who bought my house weren't so lucky, but I got out of there literally just in time.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was neat because I sold my house. I received my payment. It was 3 days before the fire. And then the title company, the mortgage lender, the tax office, my credit union, the other party's credit union, they all burned.
So, wow. Wow.
Crazy.
Huh.
So that's why every day is a blessing, and that's why every day is happier and happier.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you say, helping humanity, what a great feeling.
I hope so. We're going to get there. But a few more battles to win.
Yeah. So do you want to show some of the pictures for people so that they have for people who haven't seen it, which I would be surprised, but for people who haven't seen it, do you want to show some of your pride and joy little pictures that are?
Oh, yes. I have something kind of esoteric. Do you have any artists in your audience?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to be awkward just for you in the audience. I am legally blind, so you're either going to be looking up my nose because of bifocals, or my face is going to be close. So I apologize if you have.
I met a guy who was legally blind about 15 years ago when I was doing a kinesiology training course, and he used to drive the car.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I met him at a market one day, and he doesn't actually recognize who you are until he's about this far away from you. So before that, he knows you're walking towards him, and he does a whole wave, hi. And then he pretends he knows who you are until you get close enough. Oh, hi, Madonna.
And you can do a series of squeaks or something like that. That would be kind of cool. So let's see. What do you see?
Oh, there it is. Absolutely. So I see Thomas Paine.
Yes. Do you know him?
I've heard of him.
Someone called him the
most of his in the last few years.
He's famous for a bunch of stuff, but he's the founding father of the United States that everybody sort of dismissed after he made mad at pretty much every religion on earth. But I just like these quotes, and we don't have to do this, but these are just some of the nicer images that I found, but the intention was this, and I'll give this to anybody who wants. But I wanted to run this in bars and in restaurants on the TVs that are all over the place now. But it's supposed to be a running show, just so people glancing up would start to ask questions. So I'll go through that. Is that Is that okay?
Please, absolutely.
The second one is my motivation, which is I don't mind going through the tribulation part. This is okay. There's war happens, and I think coming out the other side of this is going to be something that is going to be fantastic, and I can't wait to see it. It's just
Yeah.
going to be awkward here, I think. So
Oh,
this is inspiration,
wow.
and I'll just kind of say what it says underneath it. If something strange that's found in rainwater can also look like something that is found in an injection. So that's the question asked. So this was found in the injection, this was found in rainwater, and they're not the same thing, but they rhyme. And when the bristles of a swab for testing are much more than bristles, and when the liquids from the injections are much more than liquids that are clear, this is a raft of material that was inside of a Pfizer vaccine. This is from a bristle swab, with alcohol applied, and some gel came out of the end of it. You can see it here spilling out of the end. This was repeated a whole bunch of times. It just looks like it vomits out some kind of substance. And if it's true that life is in the blood, I love that term, by the way. This is a picture of some blood, some fresh blood, my blood, mixed directly with one of the vaccines. And when they mixed together, this happened within minutes. So this is a kinocyte. This is a, they
Yes.
call it bottle cap formation.
They're on their way out.
They've lost all their hemoglobin. There's no iron in there. They're starting to implode. And then you can see some of the Rouleau effect, but you can really see it over here. So there is no gas exchange in any of these that are on the inside of this roll. And these will have a hell of a time getting through the very smallest.
Capillaries.
Yeah, and every organ, skin, everything needs this
Yes, I
dramatically. I think.
always say to people that the size of a capillary is the width of a red blood cell. So when you're seeing these clumps, anything that's a clump is basically a little clot that's going through the capillaries. And we have so many capillaries in the body that no capillaries are further than two red blood cells apart.
I envision it almost like a bag of material, almost like a sponge, and things are just kind of flowing through it. It's so dense, especially musculature, which is fascinating under the microscope. But this basically says if this can damage blood, then can it also damage people? And then what does it say about our lives after that? And then it's supposed to be dramatic because the Latino culture is very dramatic, sort of.
Yes.
It appeals to them. So if it can incapacitate your blood, can it incapacitate us? And do we now have to live a life of discapacity, basically? Are we stuck with this? I keep hearing that, and I don't agree, but.
I don't agree either. Yes.
So what does this imply? And what's the significance for us? These are some of the images that I found in live blood analysis and then dried blood analysis, but these are some of the ribbons. I don't know if Shimon would call these cables or ribbons, but these are huge. You can see that they're very gossamer, very delicate, but they also have little tubelets inside that sort of form this knot. So we're going through all kinds of different debates about what these actually do and what they are. My controversial opinion is that all of these structures, because they're made mostly out of carbon and a few other items, that everything is basically acting like an antenna. And that's one of the things I want people to start think about, is anything that's put in your body, and anything that you have in your body, whether it's bone matter or blood or anything, everything acts like an antenna. It's just a matter of does it resonate with it and does it absorb or re-radiate. That's all it is. You can be a pretty bad antenna and still be an antenna. So we rather than talking all about the resonance and all those things that are so hip right now, there's sub-resonance, there's different absorption techniques, there's all kinds of stuff. But what's weird about the EMF is that there's no doubt and compounding evidence that it just takes the overall health of the human body and lowers it. it just it hits a little bit of every single system in some way because it's a fundamental change in how cells behave. And that's what we're finding through all of these different things. And what I'm focusing on right now are the things that nobody else wants to talk about, which are graphene, nanochips, the nanotechnology that you alluded to before, and then the whole rollout of 5G and what that might imply. So those are all the dirty words that nobody can talk about, and yeah. I don't mind.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to confirm, so this is your blood on the left?
Yes.
And on the right, or is that the jab?
Oh, no, this was my blood, this one right here.
Okay. Now, did you wear a mask? Did you have swabs? Have you had 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jabs?
Oh, goodness. I think I've had 2 jabs my entire life, and yes, they were probably before I was at the age of reason. I haven't taken any PCR tests, no swab tests, no spit tests, no nothing. I've never worn a mask.
Right. So this would be from shedding or environmental pollution or the water supply or some other supply.
Yes. These are both in the blood of the unvaccinated. And so they got in there in some other way. And we're trying to figure out what that is. But what we're coming up with is it's pretty much every other way.
Yes.
Air, food, water. Food supply, animal food supply, supplements, feminine protection products, for goodness sakes. They're targeting soft tissues. So Q-tips. Oh, what did we find it in? A zeolite supplement.
Oh, no.
It makes sense. I haven't found any in ivermectin or hydrochloroquine. Keep looking, though. I keep looking.
Yep.
But these are the structures that look very similar to what we found in the water. They're almost precisely what we found in the masks. They look very similar to what I found in the swabs, and now they're showing up in all of the shots. So this is a theme. These tend to perpetuate. They tend to grow in the presence of EMF. And people, I love this one. This shows you that this is some material that we don't really know. This is why I think it's graphene. On a very thick backdrop of coagulated and pretty much dried blood cells is this gossamer thing that looks more like pantyhose than anything else.
Yeah.
But you can see that there's a slight opacity to this, which means that this is really, really, really thin. Thin. And it's mortal, is what I put down here. So it's easy to say that, oh, that's probably just a dog hair. I'm looking at the picture on the left. It says, we can talk about contamination. So this is just regular blood drying and clotting and things like that. And maybe that's something different. But can contamination grow is what I put here. So this is a ribbon that grew over time.
Right.
Contamination.
And dog hairs, you know, in contamination can't grow. For a fiber. So yes.
That's how it ended up. So it's gigantic. This went on, I think, for 4 microscope fields at 20x. It was immense. And grow is what that says. But this is my favorite image that I've ever taken. And this is actually the formation of one of those ribbons. I didn't catch it on video because it's a slow process and this is just an accident. But I found this one turning from hydrogel, which is what you see in the background here. There's I call it the Janowitz idea of subassemblies. They come together first, and then they all start going together again. We don't know how many layers there are, but it's a multi-layer process.
Yes.
But this is what formed. I don't know how I caught it, and I don't have that great of a microscope, but you can start to see things chaining together. And this is not what many samples on a microscope tend to do.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful. This says we think this way because we've seen it.
Yeah.
And the thing that I won't go on too much of a soapbox, but when people are talking about the mRNA and the transcription transcriptase, I believe, and they have all these mechanisms. And it's all cartoons, and I don't do cartoons. I'm an engineer, so I do physical evidence. But the strange thing, the detractors, and this is going to sound like whining because it is, we have physical proof that these things are forming within people. We have it on microscope. we have the Bluetooth MAC address thing that seems to be a thing. And then we have these things forming. And then we have all the cabal people saying that we're going to do this. So we've triangulated this problem with evidence. And people are still saying, no, this is too weird. It's not weird that governments are, you know, basically compromising all their pillars of governance. Like executive branches are all paid for. And that's not weird stuff. Spraying stuff from the skies, that's not weird. But suddenly when it gets to chips and ribbons and growth and graphene and nano, they say that's too much. So maybe that's one of our goals today, is to put this technology within reach.
Yes.
Okay. I won't go through these slowly, but this is how things happen, is you have some debris within the shot, and then these little crystals start to form. And I'll call them crystals because they look like salt. They look like table salt. And then there are thousands of them. Sometimes it crystallizes over with what David calls the lattice. It's warm enough here where I don't think that it's not very humid here. And then they coincide a lot with these ribbon formations. And then these things start to sprout out the sides, and eventually they grow into this, which really look chip-like to me.
Yes, connected to cables or something.
Yep. And they're coincident at least. But this says, can coincidence mature over time? I thought that was funny. This is another example. It starts with an outline and then it starts filling in the middle with stuff. This is really neat that I caught this, because this shows that this is not a biological process. So this should, I wish I had this on film, but I don't. But when it makes an outline and starts filling it in, there's not a biological analog to that.
No, there's not.
It's you know, Fibonacci series and crystallization and things that the detractors are saying that this is. Crystals don't grow like this.
Yeah.
Crystals grow in a line and they kind of spread out. This is put down a foundation, start filling in the middle part.
Oh, and look at the shape of it. Like it's bizarre. You know, you can't see that in nature.
Not in a leaf pattern, not in nothing natural. So that's what I want people to think, is that if you see more images like this, and a lot of people have them, some New Zealanders have these too, but just keep in the back of your mind, is this natural? Is this natural? We all know what natural looks like. And the answer is no. And then I came across these two things, and I wish you could go into the strange head of an electrical engineer. But when I saw these for the first time, I started going through like sophomore level lab classes and all these diagrams and all of my electrical engineering books. And I'm like, that's exactly what that is. So in terms of complexity of these structures, when can we stop talking about these as just crystals?
Yes.
And the answer to that is non-homogeneity. If it doesn't look like the same material and there's more material in there in a certain format, or in two different formats, then I think we can stop calling that a crystal.
Yes.
And start calling that something else.
And of course, Young-Mi did that fantastic little experiment a few weeks ago for our group, where she used cholesterol and she brought it within range of, I don't know, 3G, 4G, 5G, something, and it didn't grow. So she's tried to put to rest the concept that, hey, it's just cholesterol crystals, because these things keep growing around electrical energy, whereas cholesterol doesn't.
No, and we can get into that battle if you want to. My background, I ended up in California. I just went back to the town where my dad grew up so I could be around my family, who I didn't really get to grow up with. That was when I turned 50, but I grew up in Texas. And a lot of that culture is still well within my bones. So show me. I'm not belligerent, but I don't back down from a confrontation. There's a lot of Texan ideas that I still have within my body. So I'm ready to fight if I have to.
Yeah.
The one on the right, I really like, because it shows what people are saying, oh, that's just a salt crystal. Well, that's what that is. That is a saline crystal right next to a big old chip. So this is supposed to say, I'll be a Texan again, this ain't that.
Exactly. That's all you need to say.
So what is it? And that's what we're trying to figure out. And it's a constant source of inspiration and frustration. So here's an example. This is from a vaccinated person, but this is the size that they can get to in dried blood analysis. So these are just immense. They're long, very, very long, millimeters. So they're not small, and they can definitely grow more if we need to. These are just artsy shots that I thought were kind of beautiful. But this is drying blood in the presence of EMF. And that's it for the art show.
Beautiful.
But that's a general overview of what I've been looking at. And we have some other specific stuff, but they're kind of nerdy. And if we can go there if you need to.
Ah, love the nerdy stuff. But because it's sort of, for me, I'm surrounded by, I've got a brother and a cousin who are both doctors. They both believe everything they've been told by their government here in Australia for the last 3 years. And it's very, very interesting because when my auntie has a stroke, my cousin says, oh, yeah, that's a result of long COVID. We don't know the mechanism yet. My brother around the myocarditis said, well, doctors don't want to be sued, so therefore they're saying that it's a heart problem and we send them to a heart specialist so we don't miss anything. But eventually they just get diagnosed as anxiety, which is what we knew it was all along. So these are the words coming out of doctors with 20, 30 years experience that just are believing everything because they are on the government teat. You know, it's like they are not willing to look at anything, which is phenomenal to me for these really, really smart people. And they've lost their brains.
There's an interesting... I grew up around nerds my whole life, and I went to a large high school in Houston, and it was a mix of all cultures, a mix of everybody. And we were in the nerd bunch, of course, but we were cool nerds. But and I always hung around smart people just because of the classes we took, and you know how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was on the football team, I'd hang out with jocks. I wasn't. I was on the nerd team, so I hung out with nerds. The ones who became doctors were usually the ones who not only liked biology and things like that, but they could all memorize better than everybody else.
Right.
But that's all they could do. Like, if we wanted to make a go-kart, we would never ask one of these kids to help because they would just get in the way. They're not handy.
Yeah.
Kinds of things. And my engineering buddies and I, we would always go out and blow stuff up. We would never invite one of those guys along. But they were very, very good at memorizing, and we couldn't keep up with them in terms of memorization. But when it came to conceptual learning, we blew them away.
Yeah.
So I understand that doctors are very smart, and I understand that they've been in education very, very long. But my discipline hasn't changed much in the last 150 years. Theirs has. And I think what they've been taught is crap.
Yeah.
It's crap, crap, crap. It's not right. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of virologists changing their business cards over to like epidemiologist or something.
Yeah. Because they relearn everything. Yeah.
So I just have the advantage of having learned my discipline the correct way, at least us ostensibly, because I don't screw anything up and I don't blow up things and I don't kill people. But now that whole paradigm of not only healthcare, but medical training and all that stuff is being reversed. And I can't imagine a discipline, a passion, a calling that has to be redefined on the fly.
Yeah.
That's rough, baby. I mean.
Yeah. And it's been funny because the last few years, these days, I say things that I've been saying to clients for 28 years. And I'm constantly saying, well, at least that's what I've known for 28 years. Who knows what's real? Like, I've said that to just about every client for the last, 3 years. Well, 2.5 years, probably. Because I think it was very early 2020 when someone started challenging me on things like, do viruses exist? And I'd go, what do you mean? You know, so then I'd listen to lots of stuff about that and go, really? Interesting. And I always knew that things like the polio vaccine was brought out about 6 months after Roundup, I think, you know, so they'd start the whole, you know, glyphosate or Roundup sort of thing, and about, you know, where the areas in the States, the stats are fantastic. I'm sure you've seen that. Like, that's amazing. You know, where they would have all this aerial spraying and then 6 months later, polio would go through the roof. So they go, gee, we'd better create a vaccine for this. We can make some money here. So, of course, everyone, as soon as you say anything about vaccines, they say, oh, but polio is terrible. I had an uncle in thing. Go, yeah, they had poisoning. They were poisoned. So it does make you rethink everything, you know. And I do kinesiology. I've been doing kinesiology for 25 years. So I, like with my immune system, I'm having to rethink that. And these days I even say stuff like, instead of just checking viral and viral particles, which is what I've been saying forever, I've been saying viruses and virus-like toxins. I've just changed my terminology because I'm going, okay, well, I have to keep working here and working on their immune systems, and I don't know what actually exists anymore. I do know toxins exist. Like it's a huge learning curve.
You can toxify the heck out of yourself with a bag of Doritos.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. You can feel that MSG can get you. But so here's a, I don't know if this perspective will help, but after having to catch up on this stuff in a brief year period, swear I went to med school. I watched every video with vigor, just trying to figure out what the heck you guys were talking about. The doctors in you and me.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm a forensic engineer, so I try to figure out what happened when something blows up, basically, or malfunctions or whatever. So I'm looking at all these different health effects and sneezing and coughing and headache, dizziness, trouble breathing before the vaccine. After the vaccine, you add myocarditis, aggressive cancer, loss of hearing, permanent eye damage. You have all these things that are a mix of neurological and deep tissue, I would call it malformation, mutagenics.
Yeah.
And all these things. And that was after the vaccine, and people didn't put that together. But the symptoms at first from Wuhan were people just dropping over dead, followed by sneezing and coughing and respiratory distress, shots, followed by permanently debilitating diseases. So that to me, from the outside view, says that any method of diagnosing any of that or preventing that or mitigating that is false. Nothing about what they did in response made any sense whatsoever.
Absolutely.
And so it, and this is what really blows me away from the beginning of this. If, and this is just, I'm a risk manager also. That's how I made a living for probably 12 years. So looking at risk and looking at the chain of events, it's literally true that if you would have done the opposite of what they mandated, that you would be better off.
Yes.
Go totally. Outside, don't wear a mask, hug your family, hug your neighbors, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And or if you would have ignored all their mandates, you would have been better off. And technically speaking, that is messed up.
Yeah.
It's a series of overlapping misdiagnoses and remedies that didn't work, and that was deliberate. And that's what's heartbreaking.
Absolutely. When people say they have loved ones who died of COVID, it does break my heart because I think, okay, did they use remdesivir? Did they use midazolam? Did they use ventilators? You know, what did they do? Because we know that the wrong combination of those things kills. Like, it's awful. There was a guy in New York really early in 2020 who, of course, lost his job, but he was in a New York City hospital and he was saying, this isn't acting like a respiratory disease. He said, why are we, and he was actually, you know, just speaking into his phone, talking on Facebook, trying to get the word out and saying this is acting, he sort of said it was like altitude sickness. Like people were like,
I remember him.
Yeah, so he said it was more like altitude sickness, which was making me think, well, what's going on here? And I hadn't put together the 5G thing at that stage, and I don't know how early on in the piece New York had 5G put in either. But, yeah, that was devastating watching that because he was just watching everyone kill patients, like with the wrong protocols.
That is a heartbreaking one, but if you look, even if you watch it on mute, you can see a true healer who is being told what to do and it's not helping. And you can see the sorrow in his body as he's speaking. He's like, these people are coming in with this. We're treating it with this. It's not working. So it has to be something else. It was more than just a cry out. It was like a howling.
Yeah,
it was cool looking.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And so many have tried and, been silenced.
It to me, from, and I'll say the engineering point of view, but just looking at another discipline from mine, what it looks like to me is whatever they're calling a virus or virology or the viral concept is almost like an outtake or a teaser from a movie reel. And we're missing the whole movie. We're just taking this one little snippet. It's like a snapshot of a cycle where that part of the cycle just stopped long enough to take a picture. We don't know which direction the cycle goes. We don't know if this is the garbage bag, the garbage, or if it's the input. But they're definitely trying to sell this whole hoax on a germ theory. Yes. But it's clear to me that they developed this weapon using terrain theory.
Yes, totally.
So the distinction between those two things is where we need to start poking, where the narrative and the actuality don't make up. And I think that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think that's why natural therapies, living naturally is so important, because everything we do that allows our body to be more alkaline is going to be beneficial for us, whether it's eating organic foods and lots of greens and purifying our water. And even if people have purified water, doing something like structured water, you know, so everything we can do to support our health is so important at the moment, because it is coming at it from every direction. You know, even there's these plates you can get that can structure foods as well. So you can do things like put your proteins and your fruit and veggies on them, and it allows the water in them to become more easily absorbed in your body.
I'll be darned. There's
some cool technology out there. I need to buy a few of those. I have one under my, I filter my water and then I put it on the structured water thing. And yes.
That's, I have one of the, I have the biggest advantage of anyone back in the States that I know is I live on one of the only pure rivers in the world.
Oh, wow.
So at a moment's notice, I can walk down to the river and drink right out of my river. I've never been sick one day down here, but.
So you've got naturally structured water.
It's structured by the Andes Mountains. Beautiful. And a whole rocks. And, yeah. All the food here, I mean, you could buy pre-manufactured food, but why would you? It costs twice as much and doesn't taste as good.
Yeah.
So I'm super lucky, and I'm no angel, but I've been here for four and a half years and I've never been sick once.
Yeah.
Not once.
Have you seen an improvement in your health since you moved down there, or have you all always had a healthy bent?
No. I mean, no, I haven't always been healthy. I was emotionally unhealthy. I went through a divorce and I was emotionally unhealthy.
Right.
I wasn't a workaholic, but I worked very, very long hours and never saw the sun.
Right.
I was constantly on the telephone. I was in a huge office space and outdoors, simultaneously in some days, but just filled with Wi-Fi routers and things like that. But
right.
I just decided to try to get all the way away from that. And when I did, my eye disease stopped. In degradation, stopped dead cold. I've had one episode since I've lived here, and I used to have one every 2 months of my retina dying. That stopped. I lost weight, gained muscle mass. My endurance is through the roof now. I feel like I'm 25 years older.
Well, you look amazing. When you mentioned before, once you turn 50, I'm like, really? Okay, so well done. It's a bit of a sign, isn't it, that living healthy can make such a difference? And of course, it's obvious, but you know, people don't get it a lot of the time because they've been so indoctrinated by the Rockefeller medical system. That, you know,
yeah, I had a tooth pulled and I took ibuprofen, and so I took that. But I have no medications. I don't even check. I don't even check. I check my blood because I can do that. But
yeah,
I haven't been to a doctor since I've been here.
And why?
But that's the people who have lived here for centuries. They're all the same. This is called the Valley of Longevity, and we have more 100th birthdays. I've attended, I think, 4 already this year.
Wow, amazing!
They live forever. Yeah.
You're a blue zone, and I didn't know it. You know the blue zones? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, this is a magical place. But when the vaccines hit, people started dying of exotic things that nobody ever dies of here. Here, you stop going out in the fields and working at about 90, and then that's when your family just says it's time for you to just sit on the porch and enjoy life, and your grandkids and your great grandkids, and they do. But now they're starting to die of exotic blood disorders and cancers, and that doesn't happen here. You die of a heart attack. You die in your sleep here.
Yeah.
That's how you exit this world. There's almost no other way. And now it's all these new and exotic ways, and it's making people very, very confused.
Yes.
And
are many people awake there? Like, are they starting to wake up about it, or is there still,
There's two groups. This is because it's so gorgeous and organic and beautiful. There's a whole bunch of people from out of town here. So from every country in the world, there's a lot of retirees here, including me.
Right.
I live extremely rurally. They all live down in the big city, 5,000 people, I think.
Yeah.
It's just swimming in horrible, horrible EMF down there. But they come and visit me to go get their blood. I say, we look at their blood together.
Yes.
And when they come out, they say, oh, it's just so nice here. I just feel like a weight's been lifted. I'm like, it's because a weight got lifted.
Yes. Yeah.
So I do EMF measurements in town, and I do all those things. And then I have 0.000 EMF out here. It's none. And that's pretty rare on this planet. But people always comment that, I don't know, I just feel so much better. And so that's my anecdotal evidence that that's step one. And this whole concept, I've been working with a woman named Angel up in Mexico, just kind of talking back and forth. And my theory, and she's the only one who thinks this way, you probably will though, remove constant toxification from your body and just get out of the way and let your beautiful, beautiful body do its thing. But you can't simultaneously try to cleanse something that you're encouraging with another technology. That's you're step two steps forward, two steps back. You're always going to be in this defeated state. But if you just get out of your body's own way, I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had clients in the past who have been really sensitive to, well, everything. And there used to be some valleys down just over the border, and now they've got all 5G towers. It's sort of one of my clients, she bought up in the mountains, a couple of hours away from Brisbane, that had nothing. They've put a tower in the middle of her forest, you know, sort of on a, you know, so it's nuts. So people think doing a good thing.
Do you want a show and tell item?
Yes, please.
Okay. I hope this comes out, and it's night here and I have crappy lighting in my living room. So if you think that this isn't an evil plan, check this out. Okay. Have you seen one of these?
No.
It's a brand new street light made out of LED bulbs.
Right.
And so people keep talking about the evil street lights, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
This is a photo sensor. And you can stick that right on this thing right here, and then you can tell when it's day or night.
Right.
Under a separate contract, a private contract, with a different supplier, different set of invoices, different supply chain, the whole thing, you pop that out. And in those same holes, you put a 5G head.
Oh, dear.
So when people say, what kind of streetlights are those? You give them the invoice and the spec sheet and everything else for this light.
Yeah.
You have to give them the spec sheet for the thing you just stuck in there under a different contract. So that's a way that this can happen. And that's how it's being implemented around the nation right now, around the United States, similarly. But that's how they do it here.
Because I did hear from somewhere, one, I don't know if it's true, that they're already starting to put up 6G by the military in the States. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. That sounds like more of a bandwidth thing than anything else. But they're already
right, because they spoke at the World Economic Forum both this year and last year about 6G. The head of Nokia spoke about it last year, and this year it was by, I can't remember who. I don't think it was the Nokia guy again. But they were talking about how, you know, phones are going to be a thing of the past, of course, because you don't need them when the chip's in our head. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that's even a distraction. Let's tell people that they just need to choose to have a chip put in, and then they won't be thinking about all this stuff in the jabs.
6G, here's an analogy. When my ex-wife is German and I'm an American, and so we taught our daughter both of those languages, but we introduced a third language in order to make the other two seem just that's what you do. And it worked. It worked brilliantly. We were going to teach her Spanish. And she was like, oh, I don't want to study Spanish right now. And so the other two languages were just a given at that point. I think that's what they're doing with 6G is like, well, right. Why are you testing 5G when 6G is on the way? What are you doing? So to kind of dismiss it.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
I'm not a psychopath, I hope, but I can sure think like them because I've worked for them. So I know the difference.
I saw a video a little while ago. I'm sort of just scanning through my Facebook page to see if I can find it. And it was an old lady who was a longevity expert. I'm assuming she's dead now because she was like 92 at the time. And she was talking about radiation. And it was so long ago. And she was talking about some really simple things that, you know, people can do to help to pull radiation out of the body. And then it was sort of really simple things like rock salt and bicarb soda and maybe it was sparkling water, potentially. But maybe using
Epsom salts work for everything, even before frequencies, right?
Yes.
Epsom salt.
And she said that people do it and then a week later they feel like crap again. She said, yes, the radiation is never going away. She said, you have to keep detoxing it. I can't find it, but it was a really great little fast video. Maybe fraud bookers decided to take it off.
Oh, it very well could be, yes.
Yes. My things do tend to disappear. I try to share them across the board, all sorts of places. I figure, oh, well, if a few people see things, that's a good thing. Yeah.
To the group, I gave sort of a 15-minute overview. If I could tell your discipline something about mine.
Please.
Electromagnetic radiation is invisible, and that's how they hide everything. But all of the sci-fi movies, all of the, cartoons that show like the little rays coming out like from a ray gun and they go, nyu, 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 nyu. That's it. It does that. It does that kind of a thing. It's multidimensional and it goes all over the place and it tends to follow things that encourage it to go along that path. That's why like shungite pendants and things like that work because it doesn't attract it. It just makes it more palatable to go through that path and then it can absorb it. So any of this electromagnetic radiation, as long as you absorb it before it gets to you, you're probably okay. And that's why 5G, with its very, very short wavelength, doesn't penetrate buildings very well, which is why the density is up.
Right.
So it's like being in an extremely hot and humid climate, being in the air conditioning, and then you walk outside and this wall of humidity hits you. It's the same thing with radiation. And so I think what we're going to start seeing a lot more with increased density and increased frequency is that it's called a gradient, is all I call it, is when you go from one state to another, being just cooked by this stuff and then getting out of it, that's when health effects can probably happen. Or the opposite, when you go from a relatively clean environment out to this horrible environment, then it's going to knock you on your butt. So if you put that same environment within the home or within the office, then that transition isn't going to be as noticeable anymore. So it's this whole just lowering of our expectations in terms of our bodily function that I think is the way to get away with it. So you do see that. You see people who come here and they spend a long time away from the city and maybe they're on a trek or maybe they're, you know, looking at llamas up in the mountains. They come down and they get horribly ill.
Yes.
Horribly ill. And they always blame it on the altitude or, you know, the food or the water or things like that. But it has every indication of being a radiation type sickness. Tinnitus, headache, especially in the back of the neck toward the top of the head. And the same thing happens on day trips from where we live over up to the big city. It's the same thing. So I'm having people journal about their health.
Nice.
The most crazy transitions and the places in these journals where people are getting the most sick is going through an airport.
Right.
By far.
Okay.
Hey, everyone feels that. And just think about that environment that you have. You have scanning machines. That is all gigahertz technology. You have everyone usually using and actively using their cell phones at all times. And then you have people with laptops who need the Wi-Fi. And so they just spray this whole place with Wi-Fi. So it's density, it's diversity, it's all this electromagnetic radiation. And it's a crapshoot whether or not your body is going to let it pass through, absorb it without consequence, or absorb a little bit of it and let it pass. But with these shots and with the things that they're spraying from the skies and putting in the food, there's a new dimension to it, which is you're absorbing it differently and perhaps it's re-radiating. So if you have these antennas inside of your body, it's very possible to take the same kind of magnetic frequency and flip it around and maybe quintuple its frequency. It could re-radiate. You can resonate with maybe only 500,000 particles in your body and the other billion and a half don't see it. But it's something like that.
Yeah.
So that's where the antenna theory comes, and you, your body acts like an antenna on the nanoscale as well. And that's optogenetics. And that's something I won't get into, but that's something that's very real. We're electrical beings and we're at the frequencies now where it's not so much that we understand the effects on the body, it's that we don't. So if genetics and protein folding and production of enzymes and all those kinds of proteins, basically that level, tiny, tiny, tiny. If we're disturbing that, not only can we not measure it or see it, we can't capture it on a microscope, but all we can see are the ill effects from it. So that's where the forensics comes in. It's not that they understand biological process well enough to anticipate the dangers of this, is that we're going blind into something that is messing around at the cellular level, the effects of which we don't know, but maybe somebody does.
Yes.
So when faced with that kind of an alter, that's called a non-recourse risk is what I call that. So until more testing is done, you can shield yourself and you can do all those things, but the safer and easier and cheaper way to do it is just to stop it. And that's tough love, but we're going to, if the things that they're putting inside of the body are actually exacerbating the effects of EMF, it's not the Vodafones and the Verizons and the AT&Ts, it's not their fault. But the pharmaceutical industry has turned their wonderful new communications technology into a lethal weapon. And you can prove that. You can show that. And I would look forward to seeing that. But if that's true, then people will literally be choosing between their health and their devices. Hmm. And when that happens, that's going to be some grief.
Yeah.
So in the last Stu thing, he surprised me with that one. He just said, he told me what to prepare. And I was like, prepared a bunch of stuff. Then he went down a completely different road. But he's wonderful, actually.
No, definitely one of the good humans out there, Stu Peters. Yeah.
I put out a message that said, I'm going to talk about dismantling the 5G. So I put it to all the people I've been on their shows. And I was like, it's going to happen. So I'm just warning you, if you don't want me to say that, then don't have me on your show. Kind of drew a line in the sand. He's the only one who responded back positively.
Yeah.
He just wrote back and said, bring it on. I never tell you what to say. You be you. And I was like,
yay. Yeah.
But I'm an experimentalist, so go and try it. Just get with your family and just say there's a possibility that this could be the case. So let's all get together and just not make a pact or a whatever, but let's just try it. And if a 14-year-old female is going to lose her freaking mind, she can get her phone back, but make a note.
Yeah.
The dependence on these devices is pretty crazy, but I am encouraged by whole communities even seeing their general health start to rise. And when everything starts to do that, when suddenly your tinnitus is less, and I'm not, my menstrual cycle has just become regular like clockwork again.
Yeah.
And all these things start coming together. Simultaneous restoration of health is going to be something that we usually don't get to do.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a lady in Australia called Donna Fisher. And she wrote about five books last time I spoke to her on EMFs, particularly. She's like on a campaign. And she was one of the research reporters when the ABC, which is one of our television stations, had a bunch of women have cancers going back it's probably 10, 15 years ago now. And of course, the reporters were called off before the end of the investigation, you know, so it never ended up getting finished. And they said, no, 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 it has nothing to do with the health of these women, of course. And so she started writing books, doing a whole bunch of research because something ended up out the front of her house at one stage down the Gold Coast. She thought, what the hell is this? So that's when she started researching it and realizing how bad things were and how bad things were going to go. And when I had her on the stage, I was on the radio at the time. I was on a radio show for about 10 years, and she had her as a guest, and she was talking about how EMFs attract or create histamines in the body. So I know EMFs can go through every cell in the body, but apparently they can particularly build up in the gut, the brain, the testicles, and the spine more so than other areas. So with the brain, you know, anxiety and depression and brain fog and that sort of thing, with the spine, obviously that can create any pain anywhere in the body or any dysfunction of any organ. The testicles linking in with infertility and stuff. And of course, here in Australia, we're one in five couples is infertile, and it's probably more these days. And the gut, the brain, the testicles and the spine. Yeah, the gut. And of course, every second person has got gut issues, you know, even if it's just bloating or burping or constipation or diarrhea. But the other thing is histamines, they build up in the gut, the brain, the uterus and the spine. Like as their predominant area.
The testicles and the ovaries, or were the ovaries one
is one and one is the other. So EMFs build up in the testicles and histamines build up in the uterus. But we know that these are, once again, if they're in the jabs, we know that the nanolipid particles build up in the reproductive tract as well. They found the nanolipid particles. Do we think they're in the jabs, just by the way, with what you guys are like is?
I have to confess not really understanding the difference between a lipid nanoparticle, a quantum dot, you know, all the different
labels. Hydrogel. I mean, I know you know hydrogel.
I can't figure out if it's a weapon with a delivery system, which is what it looks like, a bomb with a rocket up, you know, that kind of thing. Or I'm coming to another conclusion that I'll probably float out there if your audience is going to tolerate it. But the biotechnology, we're trying to figure out how much is bio and how much is technology. And what we keep coming up with is it's tremendously technological. I'm trying to figure out if this stuff responds biologically, if it moves biologically. And I just, I'm almost at the 80% tech stuff. It's weird. It's like they just, it's like they hijacked a biological vehicle and just put all their own stuff in it. Their own engine. Their own, I mean,
so what's the mechanism, do you think, between that and the, because people aren't having heart attacks. Their hearts are simply stopping. You know, like all of these athletes we see, it's not like they're grabbing their chests and, you know, doing the old fashioned heart attack, ending up on their knees and ending up down. And someone goes, oh my gosh, that's not happening. People are just going bloop. They're just over.
The soccer players freak me out because people say, well, you know, they are more athletic. The soccer players are beasts. They put probably 20 times the blood through their body in a given hour than we do. Their systems are in top performance, and it's morbid as hell. But if you go through some of the dying suddenly videos,
yes,
it's usually okay. So the ball will go out of bounds, and then there will be kind of a transition. Well, they'll start to jog a little bit and kind of turn around. That's when it happens. And so it's that being inside and then walking outside in that humid environment. It's that gradient. It's a change. Yes. So there's a rapid in the heart, and that's all electrical.
Yeah.
That slows down the heart and starts to equalize pressures. And that's what I'm seeing.
Yes.
The other ones, spinning deaths, I can't figure out, but nobody wants to talk about that anyway.
The what, sorry?
The spinning deaths where people just start spinning around and then they're basically dead before they hit the floor.
Oh, I did see some videos of that. Huh. It's been a while.
That looks like an electrocution to me, is what that looks like. It's the equivalent. Except for a bullet to the head, there's not much that can kill you that fast. Snake bite can't do it. Heart attack cannot do that. A stroke can't do that either. It's
For
more akin.
seizures, there's a lot of seizures in my family. I've never heard of them acting like that. Interesting.
No, it seems like they're hard to stop before they hit the ground. So that is a non-biological death. So there's something about that, but I'm starting to look at the different transitions and like the sportscasters or the news people. Have you noticed that as soon as the camera and all the lights go on that person, that's when there's a dramatic change in the electromagnetic environment, is my guess, that induces that response from the body. So those are the kind of clues that we have to start looking for. What are the confounding and compounding things that make these attacks happen? And that doesn't mean we're going to solve the entire problem, but that will give us the hints. That'll bookend it, meaning the violent deaths, we can start to figure out what those conditions are. And then the other stuff in the middle, we can start to figure out as we get there. But I'm a big fan of going to the extreme cases. Diamond Princess, Travis Scott concert, that weird thing that happened in Seoul, Korea. Nobody talks about those because it's not explained by mRNA. It's not explained by an aggressive cancer. It's not, it's, that's a zapping. So there's something in there. There's something to that. I think because it was made by man, it can be destroyed by man. I'm looking at the technology, not because it's just my discipline, but I've broken more electrical things than most people have seen in their lives. So I can't wait to break this dang thing. I know for a fact that we can. Just got to figure it out. I can't wait. I can't wait to find it.
No, it's pretty awesome. I know you've got a bunch of things open. Do you happen to have those pictures you shared a couple of weeks ago where you compared the spike protein with the 5G towers? You know, you had the pictures of all the antennas. Because I did not sleep that night thinking about this damn picture.
Are you you're
Because
the only one
I think that picture was the day after I'd watched Dr. Anna talking to Karen Kingston and Maria Z. And Karen Kingston said about one of the patents talking about the spike protein being a DNA probe that stimulated the cell to create mRNA, I think is what she said. And then Anna, she sort of went, oh my God, that makes sense because we're not finding mRNA in the jabs. So maybe this mechanism, and of course, it was all linked in with quantum dot technology and hydrogel and stuff.
and all that stuff that it's so hard to explain. And even when smart people explain it to me, I don't quite get it.
Yeah, same.
Let's see. It was this presentation, right?
Yes.
This.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so these, like I just loved this because you do just look at all these antennas, see the stuff that gets created under the microscopes. Yeah, so please, yeah, please.
Blur your eyes and just look at the form of this. I mean, some of them are elegant, but this is a mini teeny. Can you see my cursor when I do this?
Yes, I can.
Okay. This is a mini version of this. They're similar technologies, but they differ in the scale of about by 2,000. So what this says is that EMF is EMF. You just have to respond to what frequency you're looking at. This is an old antenna, a series of monopoles. This is a little teeny antenna that you might find in a cell phone or in a smart scale. I saw one of those. That's what you need is a Bluetooth signal out of your bathroom scales. This is a gigantic mass with the same technology buried within it. And then this is a diagram of a nano antenna. So you can just see the form. You don't have to worry about the letters or anything, but just look at the form of it. This is what's called a fractal antenna, and this is what Hope and Tavon go into. They're from Morocco. They're wonderful people. But this is part of their book called Forbidden Tech, which was, it turns out to be almost a prophecy book because all this stuff is coming to light now that they wrote about years and years ago. And then this is just a typical aerial antenna, but you can see this in some of the crystal lattice work. And then these are the diagrams that come from them. where they're pointing out the cleavage sites, and you'll notice that not one of these is a microscopic image. These are all cartoons.
Yeah.
But that looks very similar to that diagrammed antenna. This looks very much like a fractal antenna. This is what they're saying the spike protein looks like. And then these are supposed to be the coronas, but all these little spike proteins is what they're really focusing on. And they say that it looks like this, a crinkled piece of tinfoil. But
well, there had that's to one be of my tinfoil somewhere.
I have to make you say aluminum foil because I like how you guys say aluminium.
Aluminium, yeah. Aluminum.
But one of the things that really makes me mad, this is when I'm by myself and yelling at my at BitChute, but I'm tired of competing against diagrams. I have real stuff. I have real images. We have real MAC addresses. I have these chips that we can form and make disappear, and they don't, so I win. This is my anecdotal, anecdotal evidence that I was talking about, but I look at people's blood, they come out in here and visit. I have a detox bucket that I've only used a few times because people are scared of it for some reason. I don't do any chelation or anything like that because I'm not qualified, but what I'm finding out is that just as soon as people get out of the EMF environment for an extended period of time, Rouleau goes away. It's one of the things I'm seeing. So the sticky blood, the stacked up things, it tends to loosen things up dramatically. And then once they stay out here for a while, they start to get relief from some of their chronic symptoms. Beyond that, that's all anecdotal, but every single person has it happen. So that's, I think that's going to be a huge part of it. But if a given family were to give up their devices and they would all feel better and they would all talk openly and honestly about that, that family just changed. That's not about devices anymore. That's not about EMF. That's about lifestyle and choosing health over convenience. And I consider cell phones in general to be more of a, what would you call it? It's not a tool. A tool is something that you need in order to use your body to do something you couldn't otherwise do. This is more like a prosthetic.
Yeah.
Where instead of using something that you can use, you're using this thing. So that's, I think people will find that tools are good and prosthetics are bad, I think is what's going to come out of this. A good example is a bread machine. You don't do anything. You just pour a mix into a thing and then you put some water and then you can leave it and it makes bread for you. Whereas that's not a tool. That's a prosthetic. It's doing something that you could otherwise do. But just make bread. Bread is easy. Yeast, flour, water, and salt, maybe egg, depending on how you make it. So do that. And it takes a tremendous amount of time. But that's time you didn't have to spend earning to be able to buy a bread machine.
Yes. Yes.
So I think people will start to rediscover that, and moving to Ecuador and getting rid of anything that's expensive or technological in my life. I'm blind, so I can't drive. So that went away. But I don't miss having a car as much as I don't miss having a car payment, insurance payment, and maintenance. Like, all of those light items are not in my life.
Yes.
I've never had a cell phone bill down here, ever. And that's expensive. My property taxes for a year cost as much as my internet for a month.
Ecuador. So, love it. Yes.
But I was surprised. I when I came down here, I was going to bail if it sucked. Like, if I was just miserable and I couldn't do what I wanted to do, or I was unhappy, or I was bored, or I missed technology too much. I don't miss it.
Yeah.
The simple life is better, and the people who embrace that with me, we have profound discussions.
Yes.
We'll be sitting by the river and we'll just sit there in space for 30 minutes rather than feel compelled to say something.
Can you hold for 1 second, Mateo?
Nope.
Just be sure. Someone popping in to grab some supplements. Sorry about that.
Oh, right.
So yeah, absolutely. So your life is pretty darn good down there by the sounds of it. And they're not changing laws down there yet. We are changing so many laws here to make everything more challenging. So some big.
You guys are getting hit worse than almost anybody. I'm just amazed. The things they're doing to Dr. David are appalling because he's such an absolutely fantastic, beautiful person.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking to watch that.
It really is. And I think he's like you, though. He knows this is what he's here on the planet to be doing at the moment. He has no choice. He has no choice. And I think, thank goodness, there's people who just realize that, you know, hey, I obviously was meant to be here, like you with your history. How could you have done what you're doing now without your life of being a nerd? You know, what a great badge to have, badge of honor, you know, that you're going to be one of the ones that helps to solve this for humanity. You are helping to solve this for humanity.
I hope so. And I just hope I'm not leading down a path that wastes a whole bunch of people's time. I really, but if we
but
find
you don't believe that for 1 second, do you? With what you've seen, you don't believe that for a second.
Belief is what got us into this mess. So I try to maintain skepticism of my own findings as well. And I honestly don't know, but I will keep that distance from my own findings so I don't get my feelings hurt easily when people don't credit the EMF connection with me.
Yeah.
If that's not correct, then maybe I don't want that.
Yeah.
Just from the ego. But we have to get this one right. We absolutely have to get this one right. And as I talked to David Nixon and Shimon Janowitz, they think I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because in discovering ideas and things that might be happening, I'll just be slightly convinced and I'm saying, okay, let's look at this. But when it comes to cures or dismantling the technology or disrupting the technology, I'm 99%. We got to be really sure about this because I will not be held responsible for hurting people. And I'm holding myself to that. And maybe we're going to be overlooking a few possible paths of inquiry, but we can't go out and say, okay, go get a taser and start shocking yourself, and that's going to get rid of this nanotech.
Okay.
We don't know what that's going to do. And if we don't know that, then we either have to have very, very willing subjects or be super careful about how to do it. And I like to do everything outside of the body if I can.
Yeah, right.
But some of the doctors I've seen are bad, where they say, oh, if you haven't caught on by now, you know, I'm not going to waste my time. And most of us have children, and we know what stubborn children are like, and you just have to repeat.
Yeah.
And if I have to repeat myself 100 times in order to get it through someone's head, that is my responsibility for being a good communicator, not theirs for being thick-headed.
Yeah.
You must keep trying. You never give up on humanity. You never do that. But they'll also apply the same. Well, if these rich, powerful people are just going to do this, we just have to hide from it or what? No, you fight back hard. It's literally coming down to someone is pointing a gun at somebody you love. What do you do about it? It's that bad.
Yes.
But that's occasion for pure adrenaline, pure womanliness, pure masculinity that come out. And those are beautiful things.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was at the Peter McCullough talk recently in the Gold Coast, and he asked everyone to raise their hands if they knew someone who had firstly died from the vaccines, and at least half of the audience put their hands up. You know, and because I'm open to, at least half put their hands up. And then he asked if anyone knew people other, you know, just being damaged, and everyone put their hands up, every single person. So it was, yeah. And there were maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people there, just a guess, but it was something like that. And it was a phenomenal response. It was interesting because he downplayed it because he was being videoed. He said, oh, that was about 25% of the audience. And I thought, well, not in this area that I saw. So I think he downplayed it to make it a little less scary for people because it is. And because I've always been, I did my thesis on vaccines going back 30 years ago. So I was very lucky to be knowledgeable at the time. And my kids were little, you know, my kids are 36 and 32. So Josh had had a bunch of them by that stage. And the last one he ever had, unfortunately, he had all of them up to his booster before school. But I remember the day he had his booster, his personality changed. There was a real shift in energy with him, and it was more mental and psychological. Oh, hello. And whereas Blaze, it was by the time he was two that I was doing my thesis, and I thought, nah, not on my watch. And anyway, so there's been a big challenge with my grandson, so I just tell Teddy all the time. So no more needles for me. I drop him off to school with my anti-vax t-shirts when I'm feeling brave. I go, well, people just aren't saying anything. People are so scared, and the government has people so under the thumb. It's just awful. So it's,
I don't know. I don't understand when we conceded that government now can tell us what to do rather than being our employees. That is such huge. They're the help. They're the ones who are of the position and wealth that they can take time off and help us govern ourselves and be our voice. And they're not. They're just yelling and telling us what to
there's
do.
Absolutely no interaction with the population at the moment. Absolutely none. It's really quite interesting watching it. I've never been. My mum was a politician for 30 years, so I've always had a little bit of that. You know, get out there and say what you think sort of attitude. And I think that has held me in good stead the last few years.
Brilliant.
And must be why I've got a bit of fight in me as well.
A bit?
Just a bit, yes.
No, if there's a major catastrophe, I want you nearby. You seem like a person who really handles yourself, so good.
Well, that has been amazing. Any last little anythings to give people to sign off with?
Treat EMF as if it's any other toxin. And right. what do you do about it? Think of it as diesel fumes. Think of it as dust. Think of it as anything. And respond to it the same way that you would do that. And see what happens. I would never pretend to give any kind of advice to people. I can just say that there are options and then see what works out. But what I have seen and what I would encourage people to pursue in part or in full is a life of wired devices and zero wireless anything. And I think it will be dramatic, either the lack of change, so nothing happens and you can go back to life as normal. But that if you have profound health changes, then you literally have to do that accounting. And that will be a stretch to say, I felt this good and I am this inconvenienced by this. So please choose the best way for you personally. And I won't make that choice for you. But a healthy EMF-free life is a good one. It's clear. It may be boring, but it's slow. It's not fast-paced. It's not checking your phone every 5 minutes. No ghost ringing. No, it's a beautiful place to be. So try it for 2 weeks. If you hate it, go back. But if you don't, let it change your life and just open your mind.
Yeah, beautiful. That has been awesome. Matt, thank you so much for being on here today. I will hopefully get this up by the weekend. What's today? Yeah, that could happen. It could happen. No, that's been wonderful. Good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm.